Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text 9. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yad Ahadyat Mikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshaba. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yad Ahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sunat Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sunat Kumaro Bhagavan Yahara Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yadahad Yatmikam Param Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Vaishnavis, Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Pamparam Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan Yogam Tenaiva Purusham Abhijat Purusharshabaha. Sunat Kumara, Sunat Kumara, Bhagavan, most powerful. Yet, that which Aha said, Adhyatmikam, spiritual advancement of life, Param, ultimate. Yogam, mysticism. Tena, by that. Eva, certainly. Purusham, the supreme person. Abhijat, worshipped. Purusha Rishabha, the best of human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Thus, the best amongst human beings, Maharaj Prithu, followed that path of spiritual advancement, which was advised by Sanat Kumara. That is to say, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly said that Maharaj Prithu, practicing the pranayama yoga system, engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as advised by the saint Sanat Kumar. In this verse, the words purusham abhijat purusharshabha are significant. Purusharshabha refers to Maharaj Prithu, the best among human beings, and purusham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that the best man amongst all men engages in the service of the Supreme Person. One Purusha is worshipful, and the other Purusha is the worshipper. When the Purusha who worships the living entity thinks of becoming one with the Supreme Person, he simply becomes bewildered and falls into the darkness of ignorance. As stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 12, all living entities assembled in the battlefield, as well as Krishna himself, were also present in the past as individuals and would continue to be present in the future as individuals also. Therefore, the two Purushas, the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never lose their respective identities. Actually, one who is self-realized engages himself in the service of the Lord perpetually, both in this life and in the next. Indeed, for devotees, there is no difference between this life and the next. In this life, a neophyte devotee is trained to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the next life, he approaches that Supreme Person in Vaikuntha and renders the same devotional service. Even for the neophyte devotee, devotional service is considered Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord is never considered a material activity. Since he is acting on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, a devotee is already liberated. He therefore has no need to practice any other type of yoga in order to approach the Brahma-Bhuta stage. If the devotee adheres strictly to the orders of the spiritual master, follows the rules and regulations, and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, it should be considered that he is already on the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma-bhuyaya kalpate. Quote, one who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a lot of attention to the Bhagavad Gita verse, Mam cha yo vyabhicharane bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. And this verse says that one who performs very intense devotional service in Krishna consciousness attains the spiritual platform, you know, brahma bhuta. transcends the modes of material nature. So what is the nature of that devotional service? In the first chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that intelligence is more important than karma or work. But then Arjuna asks him, if that's what you say, then why are you engaging me in work in this battle? So we may wonder that if the essence of Krishna consciousness is just to be conscious of Krishna, then why are we engaged in work, so many different kinds of work? Very arduous services to be performed for Krishna's sake. So Krishna, in the second chapter of the Gita, explains to Arjuna, and also in the third chapter, that actually you don't have any choice. The soul, by nature, is active. You really can't stop the activity of the soul. The soul's actually quite powerful. Without the presence of the soul, these bodies don't operate. So we have to think, these bodies, you have 100, 150, 200 pounds of flesh and bones, and this little soul, which is, the size of a 10,000th size of a tip of a hair, is pushing it around. And without the presence of the soul, that body won't operate. So it's kind of like, say, like one of these batteries, that makes something operate. So Krishna tells Arjuna, just as a spirit soul, you have to act. There's no way that you can avoid acting. You can't just sit. Nobody can do that. The soul is always active. So we have to learn how to act in Krishna consciousness. And that is the meaning of yajna, or sacrifice. So we're engaged in performing the Sankirtan yajna, the sacrifice of chanting the holy names, which includes so many activities. But in the Gita, Krishna explains like the process of yajna or sacrifice, which is non-different from devotional service. He said yajna vai Vishnu. Stated, the sacrifice means acting for Vishnu. So Vishnu is actually non-different from the sacrifices that are meant for pleasing him. The very first thing is, we have to eat. And just like yesterday, we had these very nice potato pizzas. Absolutely amazing. New Dork is better than the spiritual world. Just so amazing, what you can get here. But Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, anad bhavanti bhutani, living beings, they subsist on grains. And parjanyo anasambhava, and the grains, they come from rain. But where does the rain come from? Yagyad bhavati parjanyo. So the rains, they come from yajna, sacrifice. And where does sacrifice come from? Yagyad, let's see, what's that one? Yajna karma samudbhava. And sacrifice grows out of the different qualities of work. And where does work come from? In the next verse of the Gita, it's described that work comes from Brahma, which is described there, is defined there as the Vedic literature. And where does the Vedic literature come from? The Vedic literature comes from Akshara, Brahma Akshara, Samudbhava. That means the Vedic literature, comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's manifested by His breathing. So Krishna then says, so that means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, you know, in these acts of yajna. It's like a whole chain. You know, if you follow the chain back, the chain of activities back, it goes back to Krishna. So from Krishna come the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures describe different kinds of work meant for different kinds of human beings and different modes of nature, and also transcendental activities. And from those kinds of work, you know, come the various types of yajna, you know, that we're engaged in. And from the yajna, everything necessary, you know, comes. So we are engaged in yajna, which means following prescribed duties. Now, in one sense, this is a bit, again, contradictory, because in the third chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, for one who is self-realized, for one who takes pleasure in the self, actually there is no duty. There is no prescribed duty. So then you might think, well, all right, if there's no prescribed duty, you know, for one who is Krishna conscious, then, you know, what am I doing? And the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that for one who is fully Krishna conscious, one's duty becomes self-illuminated. In other words, from within, you know, one understands what one should be doing in relationship to Krishna. So then, why then do devotees engage in duties that appear to be prescribed by others? So Krishna goes on to explain, well, that's necessary. He says great kings like Janaka, you know, who were self-realized, they performed their duties not out of any kind of, they didn't have to do it, but they performed duties for the benefit of the people, you know, to give good example for the people. And his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that, like, even Krishna and Arjuna, they had no need to engage in the battle of Kurukshetra. But because it was necessary that the people of the world see, you know, how to act, you know, properly, therefore they, together, they perform their roles in that little drama as an example to people in general, like how to behave. So we have to understand our, you know, position in Krishna consciousness. If we're not on the level of full Krishna consciousness, then we do need to perform prescribed activities under the direction of superior authority. That's actually required for us in order to become purified, to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And then after some time, if one properly performs those duties, then mamsha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yugena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. If one performs these activities properly, then one reaches the level of Brahman. Of course, we're not talking about the impersonal Brahman. We mean being absorbed in the activities of Brahman, as described here in this purport. Srila Prabhupada said there's always two Purushas. There's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then there's the individual Jiva souls. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman. Yeah, so there's always two kinds of Purushas. There's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's eternal and conscious. And then there are the individual Jiva souls, who are also eternal and conscious living entities. But the difference between them is that the Supreme Person, Krishna, is supplying the needs of all the other ones. So Krishna is in the superior position. The living entities are in the subordinate position, and that's eternal. Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. So if we haven't come to the stage of realizing our Swarupa, and we haven't come to the stage of full Krishna consciousness, then we do need to act under the direction of superior authorities, under the direction of the Vedic literatures, under the direction of the various kinds of spiritual masters and other spiritual authorities, in order to come to that position. So that is the meaning of yajna. And even when one does come to that position of full Krishna consciousness, still one acts for the, as long as one is in the material world, still one acts according to the rules and regulations of Shastra to set an example for others. Like Krishna explains to Arjuna, if I didn't perform, my duties here, in this world as a Kshatriya, because Krishna appeared in a Kshatriya family at that time. So if I didn't perform my duties, then what, it would be a very bad example to the people in general. It says, so you also, like great Rajarshis of the past, like Janaka, you should also perform your duties for my satisfaction. So in that third chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, well, for the self-realized person, he's got no need to engage in duties. No need, no goal to achieve. But Krishna also said he's got no reason not to do it. It's kind of like the catch-22 for those of us who are trying to escape, from the need to perform activity in this world for the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. Can be difficult sometimes. So if we still have some selfish desires, which we do because it's not easy to come to the platform of full Krishna consciousness, then we're obligated to perform duties under the guidance of superior authority. And if we do come to that platform of pure Krishna consciousness, when our constitutional duty becomes self-illuminated and there's no need for us still, according to Krishna, Krishna also said he's got no reason not to do it. It's kind of like the catch-22 for those of us who are trying to escape, from the need to perform activity in this world for the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. Can be difficult sometimes. So if we still have some selfish desires, which we do because it's not easy to come to the platform of full Krishna consciousness, then we're obligated to perform duties under the guidance of superior authority. And if we do come to that platform of pure Krishna consciousness, when our constitutional duty becomes self-illuminated and there's no need for us still, according to Krishna, according to Rupa Goswami and others, we should still act in this world according to the rules and regulations prescribed by our higher Vaishnava authorities. So this is something that we all have to deal with in our different positions. How to act in this world as devotees. Now, before I left, there was a class in which a question came up. It was a class about devotees not desiring liberation and even desiring, to sometimes take birth, in very low positions in this world as an insect or a creeper or something. And I think Prem Sankirtan asked a question. Are there any examples, of devotees who have prayed for these lower births and actually taken them? And the example of Uddhava came up, but nobody had a particular Shastric reference for it. So I did find a Shastric reference for Uddhava. And that comes from the Bhagavat Mahatmya section of the Skanda Purana, which describes, there's some glorification of Vrindavan in there. And in one verse in that section of the Skanda Purana. It says, near the Govardhan Mountain is the Sakhistala, you know, the place called Sakhistala, in the spot of Krishna's friends. You know, it means the place where the Sakhis would gather, you know, the gopis. Uddhava is indeed present in the form of sprouts and creepers. So that's kind of like a Shastric reference, you know, for that point. I want to mention that since that came up. And there does appear to be some Shastric reference for it. So does anybody have any questions or comments about this verse? Yes?
It is known that the devotee achieves a platform of when he's doing devotional service because he's in the higher platform. But sometimes he, this devotee should be not follow still the rules and regulations, for example, to others to add in the lower platform. This is the question.
So the question is, if devotee has attained this higher platform, the devotee should still follow the rules and regulations for...
Yeah, for a give example to the devotees are in the lower position.
The rules and regulations followed by those in the lower position?
No. the devotee in the high position sometimes follow the... still, he's already... in the higher position, but he followed the rules and regulation and authority for give the example to the devotees who are in the lower position.
Yes, there are many statements to that effect. For example, there are many statements that, you know, the Uttama Adhikaris, you know, the Nitya Siddha devotees, you know, who are on the highest platform, who come to this world, they... generally take the position of Madhyama Adhikaris, which means devotees in the who are in the stage of following the rules and regulations to attain, you know, that higher platform. They take that position. And it's said that the Uttama Adhikaris, for example, they don't necessarily have to, you know, follow all the rules and regulations or engage in, you know, the, you know, preaching activities and things like that, because they see, they already see everyone as their spiritual master, as Krishna's eternal servants and things like that. So they take the position of preachers and they take the position of, performing devotional service according to rules and regulations as, you know, an example to those of us who are aspiring, you know, for that higher platform. So there are many statements to that effect, you know, that the Uttama Adhikaris, although they're not, they don't, technically they don't have to, they take the position of Madhyama Adhikaris as an example to us, yes. Anybody have a comment on that? Or a further question?
Yeah, I have a question. The Dharma that we perform until we become fully Krishna conscious, is that totally transcendental or material or mixed? I mean, what is the nature of that Dharma?
So the question is, what is the nature of the Dharma that we perform, yeah, when we're still striving to attain the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. And then nectar devotion, Rupa Goswami describes that there are two kinds of activities that devotees perform. One is constitutional, and then the other is sort of related to the temporary body, you know, that, you know, that we have in this world. You know, for example, like constitutional activities are of the kind that, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, These are constitutional activities of the soul that will be performed in this world, the next world. You go to the spiritual world, there's also going to be hearing and chanting of Krishna's glories. So there are constitutional activities that are meant for every soul. And now we may not be, our hearing and chanting may not be on the perfect stage, but that hearing and chanting is going to continue. It'll be there even when we're completely liberated, even when we've obtained our swarupa, even when we go back home, back to Godhead, hearing and chanting and all those activities will still be there. However, when we're in this world, we also have other kinds of dharma, other kinds of duties that are related to the particular body that we have in this life. For example, there are different duties of varna and ashrama that are related to the particular kind of body that we have. So, we may be performing, particular duties according to the kind of body and physical and mental propensities that we have that are not necessarily constitutional activities of the soul. Like, for example, we may be in a male body, and therefore we may have to take a position in terms of varna and ashram, like a brahmachari or a grihasta or a sannyasi or a vanaprastha. So those duties, although they're part of devotional service, they're favorable for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. They put us in a good position to carry out the constitutional activities of hearing and chanting. They themselves are not constitutional activities of the soul. We may work as a brahmana or a kshatriya or a vaishya or a sudra, or we may be in a certain ashram. Those things in themselves are not constitutional activities of the soul. But still, we perform duties in relation to varna and ashrama because it helps us be in the best position to carry out the constitutional activities. So, in our present stage, we find we have a mixture of constitutional duties and then duties that are related to the particular kind of body that we've acquired because of our past activities. Yes?
So, like in India, it's very common to see avadhuts or persons who
act just in India.
But mostly Babaji's or Abadut's. So everything that was explained here is very applicable, because sometimes people who are not trained in spirituality may get confused, because a lot of things they do sometimes may be contradictory to rules and regulations, and they do upside down many things. So that's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj did not approve any Babaji's. He only gave one permission to one devotee, Krishna. What is his name? Krishna Das Babaji. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, you're correct. Therefore, there's we say we follow in the footsteps of the Mahatmas. We can't just concoct our devotional service. Therefore, we have, like our founder Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, who gave us the proper path to follow in this age. I mean, there's so many ways to do things, but they're not all going to lead to the proper goal. They're not going to result in the maximum increase in Krishna consciousness in the world, or the maximum advancement that we could possibly make ourselves, given our positions. So therefore, great acharyas, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the founder acharya of our society, Srila Prabhupada, have given us direction how we should prosecute devotional service according to time, place, and circumstance. And if we follow those directions, we're safe. If we start wandering off, you know, the path, you know, chalked out by our principal acharyas, then we're taking a big risk, you know, for ourselves and others. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.